Yes, and of course the bubble has taken months of discussions between the two governments, and the Prime Ministers of New Zealand and Australia are describing it as a world-leading arrangement that promotes travel between the two countries without letting COVID-19 into the community. Jacinda Ardern and Scott Morrison say the Pacific Islands are next on the list. The Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, told me today's a very significant day for New Zealanders.
We wouldn't be here in a position to be able to do this alongside Australia had both our countries not adopted the COVID management regime that we have and had everyone not played their part. So it is a big day for New Zealand. We'll have our ups and downs as we go, but to be able to have that quarantine-free arrangement with another country, I don't know anywhere else in the world that's doing that. So it is a very big day and exciting for families and friends.
Could you explain how the next steps work in terms of the Trans-Tasman decision-making? If we are to move towards the Cook Islands and other Pacific nations, does that have to be made in lockstep with Australia?
No. You remember early on, we were looking to have a country-to-country framework where that would have put a little bit more joint decision-making in place. But actually, where those talks were generally heading is where we've landed anyway, which is essentially the idea that it's up to the discretion of each nation.
Is there a capacity to accommodate, in say, Australia opening up with Singapore? Could we still keep our bubble going but stop people coming via Singapore into Australia and to New Zealand?
Bit of a hypothetical, though, because actually Singapore's been talked about for some time, and you know, at no point has it become something that's been formalised. But look, I could imagine that what we might consider is if we were worried about that, what we could say is that anyone who had travelled in from outside of Australia would need to have been in Australia for a period of time before they were able to come into New Zealand.
Scott Morrison has raised the issue of home quarantine for vaccinated return travellers towards the end of the year. Would that be another case? Would increase the risk for New Zealand if they did that? Would we follow that, or would we again try and accommodate that somehow?
We would want to look at the research and data that's coming through on vaccinated individuals and their risk of transmission to others. And we've always said, look, our baseline is get as many New Zealanders as we can vaccinated to a high degree before we look at opening up to countries that we consider to be higher risk than, say, what we're doing with Australia. Then there are a range of areas where we're keeping an open mind, but we really want the data to back up what we do. At the moment, Corinne, because those who are vaccinated are not being regularly tested, getting that research and data is a little difficult. We're seeing in our medical workforce a bit of data coming through that does show that your chances of passing on COVID once you're vaccinated is low, but still, it's something that needs a bit of time. We've also been a bit sceptical of home-based isolation regimes, having done that at the beginning of our experience with COVID. So I would really want to be assured that we had really good vaccination data.
Right. The bigger point, I guess, he was making was that he was telling Australians that the border isn't going to suddenly be opened at some point once everybody is vaccinated. It's going to be in stages. Is that how it works here?
Yeah, and that's fair. And look, we're already showing that. Here we are with a quarantine-free arrangement with a country that we consider to be safe. You may well have scenarios. We have to factor in, you know, what if we have a situation where a variant is responding a little less effectively to the vaccine we're using. So you may have different protocols for people from different parts of the world. So that is a live option.
Just on the issue of India, epidemiologists are saying the numbers there are continuing to grow at alarming rates, 200,000 cases a day and growing. Have you made a decision yet on extending the travel suspension? And is that likely, given how fast the rate is increasing there?
No, we haven't, but we are very mindful of two things, both, as you say, the numbers in India, which are worsening, but also our obligations, as we've always said, to ensure that New Zealand citizens are not deemed stateless by being essentially excluded from being able to travel back to New Zealand. So those are two things that we are weighing up. Under a very active consideration are options to really tighten up that pre-departure testing, reducing down the time frame between the test and departure, whether or not we can accredit laboratories or even forms of testing. And the possibility, as some have raised, of whether or not you can pre-quarantine, pre-departure, that one's certainly less likely, Corin, because it's very difficult in an environment where COVID is raging to have the kind of infection controls you'd want to enable pre-departure quarantine.
If I could just ask you about the issue of family reunification. Media reports last night suggesting you will be announcing today a partial relaxing of the rules around that. Can you give me more details about that?
So what we're trying to do is create a regime that removes some of the inequity in our system between those who have been affected pre the border closure and those who have been in those special categories that have been able to bring their families with them.
So this will initially just deal with healthcare workers?
I'll leave Minister Farfoy to make the announcement, but I think the principle that I'd share here is this is us trying to work through an inequity in our system at the moment.
There are estimated, I've seen estimates of around 5,000 who have been caught by the family reunification issue. Are these changes likely to be good news for all of them?
What we didn't want to do is create a scenario where we open up but we don't have the capacity for people to actually find the managed isolation facility spots. So we've tried to, as I say, bring in that principle of fairness, but also make sure that it's not out into the never-never that family members will be able to return because of limited quarantine spaces. So I think we've got the balance about right.
So we're talking a couple of hundred, perhaps?
Larger than that. We do have some capacity in our system at the moment. And so a general message I'd share, if anyone's wanting to come home, now's a good time. Pressure comes back on, you know, around the July through October periods again. So now's a good time.
But longer term, you'll look to fix that entire issue that would cover that full 5,000?
Yeah, again, I won't give the precise numbers now, Corinne, but it's also fair to say that they've been estimates. You know, some people's eligibility actually is, the longer they've been in New Zealand, actually as their visas run down, so do the eligibility of their family members. And so the numbers are imprecise for us. We have some estimates as to how many may wish to come in. Some have never indicated they've wanted their family in. So again, we've just looked at eligibility and made assumptions. So it is imprecise, but it's more than a few hundred.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern there. She did confirm that they are still planning for a May travel bubble with the Cooks, but no specific date as of yet.